now, ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We are broadcasting from our Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. Text 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Coming up in just a moment, we'll take you through the day sports conversation with the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. If you're just joining the show, some of the news of the day here, reports out of the Miami Herald that a group led by former by Jeb Bush and former Major League Baseball player Derek Jeter have won a bid
I hate this.
The Miami Marlins, $1.3 billion is the number. What do you hate about it?
We'll discuss that at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock. You'll discuss that you hate that Jeter's buying the Marlins?
Yes.
I feel like, is it a Jeb Bush angle or is it a Derek Jeter?
No, it's Derek Jeter.
You don't like that Derek Jeter has bought the Marlins?
I hate it, and I have good reason.
I don't think I like you a lot. I know, because I love this. I love this a whole ton. Our NBA insider, Scott Edwards, joining us here on the show as well. The Cleveland Cavaliers swept the Indiana Pacers 4-0 in the first round of the NBA playoffs, but the margin of victory was just 16 total points for those four games. I will ask Scott Edwards coming up whether or not that sweep instills confidence or gives him concern. But let's get to the Daily Rewind.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
We start in the morning, Mike and Mike, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 580. Today, the guys addressing the Madison Bumgarner story. If you missed it, the Giants pitcher will miss the next 6 to 8 weeks after he was in a motorbike accident, a dirt bike accident, and suffered a shoulder injury.
By now, you're aware of the story of Madison Bumgarner, who was one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball, who on an off day in Colorado last week fell off the dirt bike and got seriously hurt, including a sprain to the AC joint of his pitching shoulder.
Yep.
That's bad news for a guy who's never been on the disabled list in his life and is basically Paul Bunyan with a mitt.
I'm sure guys that are more his friends knows he's a guy that probably does this, and other guys not so much would probably look a little off like, wait a minute, why are you doing this now? You know, you've got your whole offseason if you want to do that kind of thing. Why are you doing something like that now? I think most will understand that, but there's probably some that will look at him and say, you know, did you need to do that now? And quite honestly, the team can not pay you, but the team is not going to not pay him. The team is going to pay him. The team is not going to do anything that upsets this guy.
I agree with Golic there. Mike and Mike, 6 to 10 a.m. on it. I'm Madison Bumgarner. The Giants are going to pay Madison Bumgarner because Madison Bumgarner is their best pitcher. That being said, I also fall into that other category, Jerry, where I'm asking why the hell Madison Bumgarner need to do that on an off day and ride a motorbike. I don't get it. It's irresponsible in my mind. He's got a whole season in front of him. That team wants to try to make the playoffs. They need to contend with the L.A. Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs in the National League. And now he's out for 2 months, and it feels like their season is kind of sunk without him.
Can I explain that team?
Sure.
And we should get Kevin Davidson on to talk about this.
We should.
Because he knows firsthand, but
how much free time pitchers have on their hands?
No, but more importantly, he knows all these guys.
Right.
So we'll see if I can get him on at 7:15. Anyway, so Buster Posey, Hunter Pence, Madison Bumgarner are all a bunch of clowns. And they all want to out-clown the others. And the best part is I'll bet you at least two other players were hanging out with him when he was a moron.
Sure.
And they don't want to get incriminated for not telling the moron not to be a moron.
Well, I mean, like, it's not their fault. He did it, right? I mean, you want to sit and watch.
Did you see his tweet?
No, I did not.
Madison tweeted out, "Not my best decision."
It was not. You know, that's appropriately said. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunow. It's Nicky Football. It's Live, Local, and Loud. It's the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. We take it through the day's sports conversation. Let's get to the Dan Levitard Show on from 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. Today, the guy's talking about the dominance of the Golden State Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors are overwhelming. Last night, they score more points than they ever have in a quarter. 45 points in the first quarter. How frustrated are you if you're stuck in traffic in Portland? You get into your seat late, and all you're watching is your team trying to overcome a deficit it's not going to overcome.
Well, I do wonder if you're listening on the radio and the announcer's telling you that it's, you know, 40 to 20, do you turn your car around and just go home? Because that's what I would
do. They made 8 of their first 9 threes, and Kevin Durant didn't do anything last night, and they didn't need him to do anything last night. And honest to God, what the Warriors need to do now is get Kawhi Leonard. Just so that you're eliminating, you don't need them. Just make sure they're not somewhere else bothering you.
Like, just get handful of guys that can bother you.
Yeah, it's just here, Kevin, sit here.
Dan Levitard Show, 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. It is a novel concept, right? That basically, the big deal of the Warriors getting Kevin Durant was not the fact that they got Kevin Durant. It was who he came from as well. Yeah. What was perceived to be the largest competition in the Western Conference to the Golden State Warriors. He came from Oklahoma City, of course. They pushed them to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year. So by that theory, go out, get Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. then the Spurs are severely
just
weakened.
Let them all take down, take like years off.
You sit them all on the bench, right? You just play them minimal minutes and you build a dynasty that way. It's just basically, it's fantasy basketball, but it's fantasy basketball with some team-oriented stuff. It is. It's a great take. That Warriors team last night was incredible, okay? They come out and just bludgeon the Portland Trail Blazers, and short of being up 3-1 in the NBA Finals, and everyone likes to make those jokes, I totally get it, this Warriors team does have something about it, short of that Finals run, those last three games, where when they smell blood in the water, they come out like assassins. They come out in the first 5 minutes and they take your soul. Yeah. They make sure you know the game is out of hand. There is no question whatsoever. Steph Curry last night had 35 points through three quarters. Eighth time this year he's done that. That was the MVP Curry, and Kevin Durant came back too.
My favorite part is that without Durant, they are 16-0 going back into the regular season.
Yes. No, it's not. Yeah, it's 16 or 17. I believe it's 16 or 17. Yeah. They don't need him. He's a luxury. They might need him to beat Cleveland.
I mean, quite honestly, I was really impressed with Draymond Green and the defense coming out of the gate. I mean, he was all over the place. That block he had, and then he came right back down and got almost an and-one. And when he dunked on him, it was amazing.
Durant is the key to the Cavs winning the finals. Durant has to be in the game.
We're not doing this. No, we're not doing
Durant
this whole worse with
play.
Kevin Durant. This is so stupid. Like, I'm sorry, Jerry, man. I love you. I really do. We're friends, okay? But dumb people say that. Dumb people say that Kevin Durant, a
this
top five player.
This team is scary without him.
Yes, and they're terrifying
with
him.
They need Durant to mess up the chemistry.
Marcelo and Canel on from 1-4 here. We'll just move on. We'll argue about that later. I vehemently disagree with that. Today, Todd McShay, ESPN NFL draft analyst, was on, and he talked about the Duluth samples flag for Jabril Peppers and Reuben Foster. And he says, listen, here's the way the NFL looks at it.
This, to me, is the set up as the double D test, the drug testing at the combine. It means you're one of two Ds, dumb or dependent. And that's what they want to find out. If you're so dependent on smoking pot, then that is a problem. It's one thing, you know, whatever the number is, 70%, 80% of the league, whatever the number, exact number is, there have been polls done, and a majority of the league smokes. And a lot of guys do it, quite honestly, for pain, just a pain tolerance. Sure. Teams don't care about that. I mean, that's the truth. They don't care about that. They care if you have a dependency issue. So if you just cannot stop before the combine, then they've got to look into that and figure out, is this something that's going to affect in moving forward? Or if you're just too dumb to figure out how to stop, to know when to stop, how to clear it out of your system, and to do it without a diluted sample, then it raises questions about just how intelligent you are and just the maturity and being able to handle this whole process.
That is Todd McShay, ESPN NFL draft analyst, on Russillo and Cannell today, 1-4 here on ESPN 580. I agree with him. I don't see how this happens. If you're testing positive at the combine, and we can discuss dilute samples and guys overhydrating and being on IVs, you knew that was going to be the excuse coming from Jabril Peppers' people and Reuben Foster's people before they even sent out a release. But if you're testing positive at the combine, we saw this with Randy Gregory as well, you are either A, just like he put it, dumb or dependent, one of the two. Here's the thing, guys. 90 days, 60 days, whatever you need. Just get off the weed, okay? Don't smoke it. Then you can go to the combine, pass the combine test, and make millions of dollars. That's all. After that, you can smoke it. You know when they're going to test you. It makes no sense to me.
And I think they also don't understand, too, once you get flagged like this, you're in the system now, and your life is now going to be 100 times more miserable than what it was before.
Yeah, you just made it harder to smoke weed. I love the excuse of, it's like the Adderall excuse coming out of Seattle for the failed drug tests. It's the, I drank too much water. Okay, guys, whatever.
The best part of this that you're missing is the guys knew when it was coming up. They knew what was going to cause a positive. It's a lack of decision-making ability and a lack of control. That is really what the question is on these
dumb,
two guys.
Well, dumb or
I don't care what they're doing.
Right.
But the fact that they couldn't.
Well, I do. If it's PEDs or something like that, it's a different discussion. It's marijuana. Teams don't care about marijuana. Like, I don't care about That's marijuana. True. I think the league should work with its players and work with the government to try to implement this as some sort of pain.
Everybody
management.
Can't play for Denver.
Right. We'll talk about this later in the show as well. That's the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind. Every day, we take you through the day's sports conversation. It's the best of the best, like the rewind and flavor when you have an ice-cold Yingling. Yingling is free while gaming on Victory Casino Cruises. For more information, visit Victory at VictoryCasinoCruises.com or call them at 855-GO-VICTORY. Coming up next, we'll give you the Orlando Dodge question of the night. We'll get into why Jerry hates Derek Jeter buying the Miami Marlins as well. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's live, local, and loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. Text 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. That's where you get my buddy Jerry Daniels. Nick Runnell with Sticky Football here. Our NBA insider Scott Edwards joining the show as well as the NBA playoffs do continue tonight. This evening on the NBA, you got three games. Oklahoma City is at Houston for game five of that series. Houston leads 3-1, I believe, as well. Yes, that series is over. Memphis is at San Antonio. Somehow we have a series there. I can't believe I'm saying that. That series is tied 2-2. David Fizdale has reawoken. Yeah, he has. He's reawoken the Memphis Grizzlies.
Take that for data.
And the Utah Jazz are at the LA Clippers. That series, best of seven, also
it's
tied at 2-2. Very.
That series has been like, it's the only tied series.
It's got
series.
A buzzer beater in it, right? It's got, they're all close, kind of late. I'd love to see what the point differential is in that series. It can't be more than like 15.
And I don't care.
I have to admit, I don't either. I'm more interested in Blake Griffin being injured and what's going to happen. Like, I did Monday Night with Nick and Company last night, and it was like, all right, I'm going to talk about Utah Clippers. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to talk about what Chris Paul might be next year after the Clippers eventually lose to either Utah or the Golden State Warriors and where Blake Griffin's going to end up.
It's almost death watch for Doc Rivers. That's what it is.
Oh, really? Think
so? I mean, this was like a train wreck waiting to happen. That's probably what
this
all
this team
is
more snake bitten by injuries. The Clippers or the 76ers?
Man, I don't know. The Sixers, we need to launch an investigation.
Jeez.
An investigation needs to be launched from the NBA into the Sixers medical guys. Like, they're so good in Phoenix, right? They revived Grant Hill's career, right? Like, they're so good in Phoenix. Guys go there. They take less money to play with that medical crew. In Philly, it's almost like you need to take out a separate life insurance policy. That's what you need, because you go there and they might kill you. They might. At the end of this year.
That's why Barkley left them to head to Phoenix.
Ben Simmons, right? Jahlil Okafor, Joel Embiid is down. There was one other dude as well. It's like Dario Saric, Mike McConnell, and it's TJ McConnell, excuse me, and a bunch of other guys. They're in walking casts, basically.
If Steve Nash had never left Phoenix, he would have played till he was 55. It's like Cocoon down there. Remember that movie?
I do.
Where all the old people, like, swam in the pool?
I do, but I'm not. You nailed it right on the head, Jerry. I'm not intrigued with the Utah series whatsoever. Though, the play, the games have been close. Yet, I always find myself, like, I watched Utah-LA the other night. And I'm not going to lie, I watched Suicide Squad on my iPad while that movie was on. And by the way, first 35 minutes of Suicide Squad, pretty good. The final hour and a half, awful. Awful, awful movie.
Just
makes
like
no
this
sense.
Series.
Yeah. Makes absolutely no sense. That being said, Memphis and San Antonio, that series gives you all the feels.
Take that for data.
David Fizdale has that team back in it. Tone Loke has done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
We'll see what Kawhi Leonard. That game on Saturday night was incredible. The Kawhi Leonard and Mike Connolly, they were majestic. Marcus Gasol with the game winner was clutch, though he did not give us the McGregor dance after he made the game winner, which was extremely disappointing. But the two loudest performances in the NBA playoffs have come from the NBA's quietest stars. Those guys, you don't hear a peep out of them. They're unassuming, yet Kawhi Leonard is burying threes. He's an assassin.
Kawhi Leonard was a MVP last night.
Two nights ago, yes. He was.
See, last night was so boring.
No, it was Saturday. Three nights ago at this point.
So
you're
my question for you is if Fizdale figures out a way to win this series.
Sure.
Should they rip the Coach of the Year award
No.
out and hand it to him?
No, like the same reason why we're not going to give the MVP to James Harden just off the playoffs. It's a regular season award. There have been plenty of guys that have done a great job, like Mike D'Antoni and Scott Brooks. Don't forget that Memphis team is still the 7th seed, right? Like they're still the 7th seed. The regular season was up and down, and I get that they lost Chandler Parsons. But no, what David Fizdale...
Vince Carter's starting for that team.
Yeah, he's like 50. He's like 50, yet I still love watching him play basketball. I do.
Dunking on people, too.
Oh, just yamming it on guys. Oh. He's so much fun. 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Runowitz. Nicky Football. It's live, local, and loud. Our NBA insider, Scott Edwards, joining us here on the show. The Orlando Dodge question of the night. I've fooled around long enough here. Let's get to the Orlando Dodge question of the night. Because one thing we love in sports is hate. Right? Like the thing that we love the most is hate. Guys that have a general disdain for one another. And we've seen some of that here in the first round, whether it be Jimmy Butler and Marcus Smart in that Bulls Celtics series. Awesome. Jimmy Butler with the whole Marcus Smart, he ain't about that life.
As far as the Marcus Smart situation goes, he's a great actor, acting tough. That's what he does. But I don't think he's about that. And
it's so good that those guys don't like each other. They went nose to nose, all right? There was a moment in the Golden State-Portland series where Evan Turner went to the bucket and he had the ball ripped away. David West went to the bucket, had the ball ripped away from him by Evan Turner. Turner is then fouled by David West. Turner turns around to go nose to nose with the guy that fouled him, saw it was David West, walked right by. He's like, nope, not doing
I'm
that.
Good.
Yeah, I want to breathe. I don't want to be breathing out of a hose for the next 3 weeks. He was so afraid of David West. And of course, you've got the Paul Millsap, Markieff Morris crybaby comments. Those guys went head to head, and Paul Millsap got Markieff Morris last night. Atlanta has that series tied back up at 2-2. So
that's another surprise.
The hate in the NBA playoffs has been great. That being said, who is the most hated guy in the NBA? That is the Orlando Dodge question of the night. Which guy draws the most disdain from fans and maybe even other players? 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. You can also hit me up on Twitter at ESPN580Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Jerry, for you, the most hated guy in the NBA is who?
It's still Draymond Green.
It's Draymond.
It still is. See, even though he's figured out a way to keep his hands to himself, he's still the person that I most despise the way he plays the game. He's my new Kevin Garnett. I hated Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he was good for basketball.
He was, and so was Draymond Green.
But that is the man I despise. And can I package him? I hate Steve Kerr, too. So just put
Why do you hate Steve Kerr
and Green in the same package.
Why hate him?
Kerr is the biggest whiny little schoolgirl I've ever seen. He needs to go get back surgery and take a year off.
Okay, so you're upset at him because his back is hurt.
No, but I'd like but to see him go like away
weak.
For a while.
It feels he's like weak. That, right? So, like, the guy has complications from having back surgery.
I hated him as a broadcaster.
He wasn't supposed to.
I hated him as a broadcaster.
All right, there's a deeper.
I hate him as a coach.
Are you a Knicks fan, Jerry? I'm trying
no,
to
No, I just can't stand
did his
guy.
Bulls, did the Bulls no. with Steve Kerr do something to you? It sounds like it. It feels like it's personal here.
It might be a little personal.
Oh, yeah. Is it all the politics he talks?
No, I just can't stand him. I wish he'd just shut up and coach.
See, I find Steve Kerr to be one of the most intriguing and interesting coaches in all of the NBA. Like, when Steve Kerr talks, I listen. And I really like him. I like him as a coach. I think he makes the NBA better.
Because he made 9 3 points for you when he was a Bull.
Well, like, no, I'm not talking about Steve Kerr as a Bull. Yes, I met him as a kid, too, and maybe that plays
there
into
it
him.
Is.
I, listen,
there it
I, is. I've always been
Hi,
a Steve Kerr,
Kerr
fan. That's perfect.
My name is
I've
Mickey.
Always been a Steve Kerr fan, but as a coach, he's taken this Golden State team that Mark Jackson was in charge of to that next level. And
which
I just,
is also.
Just think he's interesting.
That he started in a bad place with me. Poor Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson did that to himself, man. Like, there's a reason why Mark Jackson doesn't have a job in the NBA right now.
But Kerr is my John Gruden.
By the way, Kerr didn't do that to Mark Jackson. Golden State did that to Mark Jackson.
Fine.
Steve
oh,
Kerr
absolutely.
Took the job. Like, Steve Kerr made the smartest decision that any head coach in the NBA or maybe any individual has made
him.
In the last 5 to 7 years by turning down the Knicks and going to Golden State.
Smart decision.
It was. So you've got a nice sandwich there of Steve Kerr and Draymond Green.
Package him with John Gruden.
Clearly, I disagree with. How about you? Our NBA insider Scott Edwards joins us. Who's the most hated person in the NBA for you, Scott?
I concur with Jerry on the Draymond Green, but I'll go another route. I mean, Marcus Smart. He's just number one right now for me. The guy, he flicks
he's
off
a poser
more.
Too.
Oh, yeah. But he gives a middle finger to more fans than I've seen ever, really. I mean,
yeah, that was not the first time during this series, was it?
No.
It was not.
Like, focus on the game. Put your energy into something else other than, you know, getting into an argument and an altercation.
How much do you want that trade now? Butler going to Boston. How much do you want to see that now?
That's very intriguing.
Yeah.
That's very intriguing.
I mean, that would be hilarious. That would be the Odd Couple. Bring back the Odd Couple and put those two on the same team, Butler and Smarts.
That would be interesting if those two ended up on the same team. That being said, when you win together and you're in the same laundry, all of a sudden you find a way to kind of like a guy a little bit more. But that does make things a little bit more intriguing. Yes.
Yeah, uniform changes a lot.
It does,
but. Yeah, and just also the way he plays the game. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he's even in the NBA. I looking at him even in college, he had the altercation with the fan in the stands. I really didn't even think he'd play this long in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. From a fan perspective, I think you have to put DeMarcus Cousins up on this list somewhere, if not number one, because Boogie has that demeanor where it's always somebody else's fault. And I've said many times, I'd take him here in Orlando in a minute because I think he's a great talent, and the Magic need that frontline type of talent. But Boogie Cousins kind of has that demeanor and that kind of crybaby nature to him where he's always whining to the officials or someone like that.
DeMarcus Cousins, to date, believes he's never fouled a person
never.
In his life.
No, he's never committed a foul. DeMarcus Cousins has never committed a foul in his entire life. You are correct.
Coming up next, we've got MLB insider and former catcher for the Houston Astros, Kevin Davidson, friend of the show, calling in. He is friends with a few of those buddies over there in San Francisco that play for the Giants. We're going to get his inside take at what happened with Madison Bumgarner right here on Live Local and Loud.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live Local and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live Local and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, some of the only legal sportsbook in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. We're going to get into some Major League Baseball talk here because there's a couple of big storylines hitting the news either recently or today. Of course, the big news of the day, if you did miss it in Major League Baseball, according to reports from Bloomberg and the Miami Herald, former New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter, part of a group also led by ex-Florida Governor Jeb Bush that has reached an agreement to purchase the Miami Marlins. They won the bid with a $1.3 billion, that is billion with a B, dollar bid to buy the Miami Marlins. The Miami Herald and Bloomberg are both reporting this now. So Jeet's the new potential owner for the Miami Marlins. We'll get into that with our guest as well as Madison Bumgarner, who is out 6 to 8 weeks due to a shoulder injury that he suffered while on a dirt bike last week. Let's bring in our guest, Kevin Davidson. He is with the Florida Collegiate Summer League and a good friend of the program as well. KD, man, really do appreciate you coming on with us. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, it's always great to have you. You always have good insight on Major League Baseball and these kinds of topics. Let me start first with the Madison Bumgarner situation out there in San Francisco. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, an AC joint injury. Bumgarner, one of the best, if not the best pitcher on this San Francisco Giants team, and he injures himself on an off day while in Colorado driving around a dirt bike. I think, Kevin, that this is the kind of thing that I'm surprised doesn't happen more, honestly, because pitchers have all this free time. But also, my quick reaction is, what the hell are you doing on an off day like that when you've got a whole season in front of you? What's your thought as someone who's been around baseball as long as you have been and in the minor league system and all that? Is this normal for guys to be doing this kind of thing during their off day during the Major League Baseball season?
No, I definitely wouldn't say it's normal. I mean, the stories I've heard about Madison Bumgarner, I mean, he's a good old country boy from Hickory, North Carolina. And I've heard stories where he comes in the clubhouse with a big old saddle rope and ends up roping out some of the players. They'll be walking through the clubhouse, and they'll just wrap that saddle around their body and string them in. And I've actually heard stories of guys having to go to the trainer because of rashes and burns on their arms
Oh, man.
From the rope that he puts around them. So he's definitely the outlier in that scenario.
That's a heck of a story. I'd love to chew into that as well, KD. But
it's a whole another show.
From a Giants perspective here, of course they lose Madison Bumgarner for 6 to 8 weeks. What effect do you think this has on their season? I feel like they're not sunk because he's a pitcher. He only pitches one, you know, every 5 days. But he's the kind of guy that's a streak stopper at the very least. Where does this put them in your mind, kind of in the playoff conversation and in that NL West?
It's tough. I mean, I think I saw they have, what, 7 wins now. And you know, they have a pretty deep lineup, or, you know, they did. They're just not performing. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it, you know, from a theoretical perspective or a percentage perspective, right now you're essentially just probably a game and a half into the season compared to an NFL season.
Right.
For those guys. But at the end of the day, when you have your ace coming out and missing 6 to 8 weeks, you know, it makes that run to come back a lot harder. And times like this and this rough patch for these guys, it's always magnified towards the front end of the season and towards the end of the season because of the spotlight. But I think it really makes their job a lot tougher coming back and doing that. It's going to cost the Giants front office some free agent acquisitions or some trades to kind of get back in the hunt.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for San Francisco to kind of rally here and get back into it. You're right. As we check in today, San Francisco 7-13. They are 7 games back of the Colorado Rockies, who are atop the NL West. Arizona after that, and the LA Dodgers. I didn't realize Colorado was off to such a nice start this year, but they are here early in the Major League Baseball season. He is Kevin Davidson, coach with the Florida Collegiate Summer League. Their season is coming up here pretty soon. So, KD, the news today, the Miami Marlins, they don't have a new owner yet, but they have a prospective new owner in a group led by former Yankee shortstop Derek Jeter, the bid winning for $1.3 billion. Your reaction to Derek Jeter potentially being a part owner, a member of a group that owns the Miami Marlins? This is kind of a coup for Major League Baseball, is it not?
I think it's great. I'm a huge Derek Jeter fan, and everything I've heard about the guy, you know, he's nothing but class. And it's always interesting to see how these guys are going to make the transition from, you know, player to owner. You know, you see Jordan doing it in basketball. Baseball a little bit different, and now with this new wave of data and the new, it's a whole new ball game right now. So it's to have a baseball perspective, I think it's going to be a pretty important feature for these ownership groups to come in and apply new data and connect with the current players, and being able to translate that information in a way that the players understand it and can use it is important.
He is Kevin Davidson joining us here on Live Local and Loud. Derek Jeter is still one of the most popular baseball players, of course. You know, he's been retired for a couple of seasons now. And the Miami Marlins, their owner, Jeff Loria, not very popular either in the baseball community or even in that Miami community as well. Is this the kind of thing, KD, you think could really open up, you know, the popularity of that team, I mean, where they are in attendance from year to year, but I think this is something that might revitalize Major League Baseball down there in Miami with Jeffrey Loria on his way out of Miami, don't you think?
I think Jeffrey Loria has probably been the worst owner in Major League Baseball history. I mean, the guy's built up the team, you know, got the whole city built up, you know, had the taxpayers pay all this money for the stadium, and then all of a sudden when they lose, he decides he wants to dump the team and dump the salaries. I think this, more than anything for that fan base down there, gives them stability to know that they're going to have a baseball-minded group coming in. It's going to put some structure in there, give them some discipline, and start building something for the future or for the current market, depending on where they are payroll-wise and depending on where they are with their minor league system. But I think it's a great thing for Major League Baseball.
All right, Kevin Davidson, my friend, general manager of the Sanford River Rats, former Houston Astro. Kevin, real quick, I know you've seen a lot of these in your career. Can you give us a little bit of an update on the death of the sacrifice bunt that we should expect to see this season in Major League Baseball?
Man, unless you're a pitcher, it's got to go. I mean, from a scoring perspective, I mean, now, like I said earlier, with all the data coming out, you're actually able to quantify percentages. And regardless of what everybody thinks in baseball as far as your gut, you know, the rule of thumb in baseball is if you manage with your gut, you're going to be managing from your couch. So you got to play the percentages for the most part and stick with what works. And percentages show man on second base with one out, you have a lower scoring percentage than there is with a man on first base and nobody out. It's just that's a simple fact. So at the end of the day, it's got to go.
Do you is this something you kind of felt when you played and you did before the numbers were out?
You know, I didn't. I mean, I was part of the mainstream masses that felt the bunt was relevant and it was needed in certain situations. But again, numbers don't lie, and you know, there's all these different situations to justify to use it or not to use it. But, you know, the guys that can run that are up at the plate, you know, give them a chance to get a hit and see what happens. And the guys that are bigger and end up driving the ball to the ballpark, they're not bunting candidates. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, outside of the National League, you know, I think it's one of those stats that should only be warranted for pitchers in the National League when they go up to hit.
All right, real quick, Houston, your boys, 13-6. I know it's early. Give us a prediction. I know they're facing off against the number two there in the AL tonight, but give us your prediction for the Astros this season.
They're going to win the Central. My prediction is the Astros will win the Central. Dallas Keuchel gets back to his old form, and with that bullpen, with Gregerson and those guys in the back end of the bullpen, they're a tough match to get in a short set.
That's it? That's all as far as you're going to say for us? Are they in?
Well, you know, it's too early for to make a World Series call, because right now I don't think you can bet against the current teams that are in there, and it all depends on what these teams do come the trade deadline. I mean, anybody that tries to make a World Series prediction right now, you're making a prediction off of a team that's going to have three or four guys in the lineup that won't be there in 3 or 4 months.
All right, Kevin Davidson, friend of the show, general manager of the Florida League's Sanford River Rats. For more information on the Florida League, visit them at floridaleague.com. Kevin, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
This is Live, Local, and Loud. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you why Derek Jeter's an idiot.